Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday. That's Split Ends with History Never Repeats on 1FM Live and Local at 23 minutes to 8. And that means it is time for our fortnightly catch-up with our resident historian, John Gribben. And I believe today he's going to tell us about a disappearance over 100 years ago. Good morning, John.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. It's all good.
I'm intrigued about this disappearance.
Well, actually, it's been in the papers. Unfortunately, we see a lot of these sort of stories about missing people and missing children in particular, but there was a terrible case in the Goulburn Valley over 100 years ago. And I'll begin the story with saying that in 1870, a chap by the name of Michael Burns marries a Margaret Dwyer, both from Tipperary in Ireland, and they begin farming at Kenniambo. And where their farm was, it was on the Broken River, on the southern side of the Broken River, about probably 5 kilometres west of Bridge Road. Now, what happened is Michael Burns is feeling crook. So he comes to Shepparton, jumps on the train, and goes to, I think, to Numurkah to see a doctor. He sees the doctor. He's not feeling that well. But he then comes back, gets to the Shepparton train station, and he drops dead on the platform. Now, they do an autopsy on him, and they say he died of liver failure, but I've just been speaking to descendants of him, and it turns out they have a genetic thing in their family called hemochromatosis, which is too much iron produced in their blood. So, if it had gone to the blood bank, he might have been right. But, anyway, he died. But at the time, his wife, they've got 9 children at home, the eldest being 10 years and 11 months. And the wife is also pregnant.
Now, oh, gosh, that's a fertile coupling.
Well, this is a really terrible thing because in 1882, I think Margaret Burns, who was the wife, I think she was illiterate. But in 1882, in Australia at least, women weren't allowed to own property. That wasn't changed until 1884. So she's in a real bind. She's illiterate. She's got 9 kids. She's got 1 on the way. Women can't own property. It becomes a real. Becomes a real problem. But in the weeks and months ahead, the number of neighbours come in and assist Margaret with the chores and the farm and what have you. And eventually there was a chap by the name of Thomas Layfield from Moglanembe. He sort of comes around and helps out and they sort of build up a bit of a friendship. And eventually he asks Margaret to marry him. And that's all great, but there's a couple of complications. One is she's a Catholic and he's a Protestant. And of course at the time, Protestants and Catholics couldn't marry. So an application had to be made to Rome to get permission to marry, and that application was subsequently granted. So in 1884, Margaret Byrne and Thomas Layfield got married. Now, that was on the 9th of July. Now, this is where the timeline starts to get a bit interesting. On the 14th of July, in the morning, Margaret and Thomas load the family on a horse-drawn cart and head from Kenniambo to Moglanembe, where Thomas Layfield had his own property as an original settler.
Where's Moglanembe?
Well, that's a very good point. Moglanembe is about, if you were to draw a line directly from Euroa to Shepparton, it would be 10 kilometres from Euroa towards Shepparton.
Okay.
Yeah, it gives you an idea. It's near my pole. It's
got it.
Between my pole, which is another one. But but anyhow, that gives you a rough idea roughly where it is. Okay, so that's where they are. Now, this is a really big occasion because they're going from a dirt floor cabin at Kenniambo to a timber floored house at Moglanembe. That's all good. But during the journey, there's something funny happens. The family's all loaded up, and they're all traveling in the wagon or in the cart. But behind them, some distance back, is another cart with two men on it, and they keep a distance away. And every now and then, when Thomas pulls over his horse to give it a rest and what have you, the others also stop some distance behind, which seems really odd to Thomas. So this happens a number of times. And after a while, Thomas thought, what's going on here? So he actually went back and said to the guys, look, are you following us? What's going on? And they said, yeah, well, we are. And he said, well, why are you doing that? He goes, well, we don't want to get lost. And because there's very few markers, which would have been right at the time, like there's no signposts, there's no houses to sort of work out where you are. So it would have been a very difficult thing to navigate, I would have thought, some of the country at the time. But that said, that went on. So that was all right. In the afternoon, they finally arrive at Thomas Layfield's property and his house, and they all spend the night there. That's good. In the morning, in 1884, on the 15th of July, the eldest son, Patrick, goes off with Thomas, his stepfather, to work on the farm. The eldest daughter, Bridget, is helping the mother in the house, like unpack clothes and organise washing and all the rest of it. And while this is at Margaret, the next eldest child, she's Margaret Jr., I should point out, was looking after the rest of the children outside. Now, at about 10:30 in the morning, neighbours arrived to welcome the Byrne Layfield family. So Margaret Jr., the one that was looking after the children outside, came inside and put the kettle on the stove. Now, it was at this time that Anne, or Annie as she was better known, went missing. Now, for the remainder of the day, the family and the neighbours searched for Annie, with no luck.
How old was Annie?
She's at this stage, she would have been 3. So she's about 3 and a half. Oh, yeah, somewhere a bit over 3. Now, the very next morning, Thomas Layfield, he goes straight into Euroa and reports the missing child to police. The police immediately come out and visit the site. And after inspecting the area, they go back to Euroa, contact Benalla Police, where they request the assistance of a black tracker by the name of Darby, who's quite famous in the area. Now, Darby arrives on the 3 p.m. goods train from at Euroa and was immediately escorted out to the Layfield farm. They searched the area around the house and dragged all water holes within 400 yards of the house. Now, unfortunately, it had rained that night, so Darby had very few tracks to go by, as it all been washed away with the rain. And then the following day, the police, the family and the neighbours search all areas of 4 miles of the house. But no trace of her was ever found. Now, it doesn't end there, because Margaret Layfield was known to have gone into her room and cried over Annie's clothes on a regular basis and was convinced that she was being punished by God for marrying a Protestant. Now, Margaret believed the daughter had been kidnapped by the mysterious men who were on their way from Moglenembe, although none of this was ever followed up or proven or what have you. Now, in 1891, Margaret Jr. is working in Euroa at an emporium. And while she's there, there's a chap who takes an interest in her, a guy by the name of Louis Hewitt, who was a wheelwright in Violettown. Now, unfortunately, Louis Hewitt was a Protestant, so the relation was not going to be approved by Margaret's mother. Now, at the time, Margaret's mother, Margaret Senior, tried to have a daughter placed into a Catholic convent to become a nun. Now, the Catholic Church had then approached Thomas Layfield and asked for £200 to cover Margaret's board and upkeep at the convent. Now, at this time, Thomas put his foot down and said, even though it was against the wishes of his wife, he said, I will not pay anything to put anyone in jail. and he was dead against it. So after that event, the owner of the Emporium heard a rumour that the Catholic Church was in town and that Margaret Jr. may be kidnapped. So from that point on, she had to be chaperoned everywhere. Now, this was a situation that was just really untenable. So not sure what to do, they ended up going to Melbourne to see the Church of England priest who had formerly been at Euroa. And they said, what do we do? And they said, well, this guy's really keen on Margaret and he's a Protestant and she's a Catholic. And he says, no worries. He says, I'll marry him. And she says, well, hang on a second. She's not 21, which was the age of consent at the time, and she's only 18. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. We'll muck up the marriage papers, and rather than getting married in the church, we'll have to get married in the manse. So that's what happened. And so they got married, and there were strict conditions that they had to have their own house, he had to have gainful employment and all these things that the church put on. But he met all those criteria. But eventually, they're living in a house, and Margaret comes around to visit her daughter and says, I hear you're living with a man. And she goes, yes, and we're married. And with that, the mother refused to have anything to do with the daughter. And it wasn't years later until she was in having a third child that the mother came around and said, look, I'll help you deliver this child. And from that point on, they got on really well, and broken bridges were mended, and it was all good. So it was a really interesting story, but unfortunately, it all stems from Annie going missing. Now, Annie,
got about 40 seconds, John.
Yeah, to this day, the family still believe that Annie was taken, but it's a mystery we're still trying to solve, and hopefully we'll get something done, but we are going to place a plaque there very shortly, so that'll be good.
Gee,
to remember.
I wonder
her anyway.
If you could ever, DNA could last that long. I guess not.
I don't know. We need new technology.
Sad story, but...
Very sad story.
Just imagine, it's a little bit William Tyrrell-ish, isn't it?
We're hearing too many of these stories at the moment. Hopefully we can do something to remember anyway. So that's what we're
Nice idea. Thanks so much for your time this morning, John, and we'll catch up with you again with another flashback shortly. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bored in retirement? Join Probus. If you want more out of retirement, join your local Probus Club and start having fun with like-minded people. Probus Clubs are non-fundraising and purely social, so all they do is concentrate on enjoying retirement. There are hundreds of Probus Clubs, with new ones opening almost every month. So find a Probus Club near you today by visiting probussouthpacific.org or calling 1300 630 488.
Probus, a new lease of life.
You know the garden could do with a makeover, so what are you waiting for? Cleves Garden Supplies have got everything you need to get the job done, and they're open 7 days a week. Coloured mulches, decorative pebbles, river stones, crushed rocks, sands, gravel, sleepers, topsoils, pavers, you name it, they've got it. They'll deliver small loads and big loads straight to your door. Drop in and see them at 20 Wanganui Road, Shepparton, or give them a call. 58212 111. That's 58212 111.
1FM sponsor.
I love springtime, the warm sunshine and the beautiful flowers, but it's also the start of spider and snake season. Baby spiders are hatching right now, so it's the perfect time to get your house sprayed for spiders. Our technicians are COVID vaccinated and follow a strict COVID safe plan. At Jason's Pest Control, we only use the best and safest chemicals to treat your entire home inside and out, including your fences and rubbish bins. So don't let spiders invade your home. Book a spider spray now. Jason's Pest Control, 1-800-599-699, or find us on Facebook.
Station sponsor.
From all here at the Maroopna Golf Club, thank you to the local footballing and greater community for supporting us throughout the pandemic. Whether you're a serious golfer looking to improve your game, or you, your mates, or your family are just looking for a bit of fun, remember, the Maroopna Golf Club is home to the Goulburn Valley's only full-length driving range, open to the public 7 days a week. Have a meal in our bistro with Palmy Nights now on every Thursday. And don't forget to check out our fully stocked and price competitive pro shop for all of your golfing equipment and apparel needs. thank you. And see you here at the Maroopna Golf Club.
Station sponsor.
Do you need it knocked over or smashed up? Keith McRae Demolitions are your demolition and environmental cleanup specialists. Equipped with EPA trucks and a mobile concrete crusher. They're also licensed asbestos removalists. Call into their yard where they stock a huge range of secondhand timber, steel, aluminium windows, all at super secondhand prices. Call Crowbar Demolitions today on 58299 413.
Sponsors of 1FM.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.